Now, of course, the question comes up, well, if God is everywhere, if prosperity is everywhere, how come we have these pockets of poverty in different places around the world? And, of course, if we wanted to be realistically, we'd have to say that how come we just have a few pockets of prosperity in some areas of the world and most of the rest of the world is in lack and poverty or illness or disease or any other form of lack? And the answer is because we don't accept what our Creator has for us. What Fillmore taught is that, and you can see this in As a Man Thinketh, you can see this in Think and Grow Rich, you can see this in so many of the classic true self-help books of our day. You can see this idea come back over and over again, that if you have the ability to have an idea, God gave you the ability to manifest it on the physical realm. That there's no anything, and like Napoleon Hill taught, anything your mind can conceive, you have the ability to achieve. It's the same thought. As a man thinketh, so shall he become. It's the same thought. Your Creator gave you the ability to manifest everything. Now, what Fillmore taught is that the prosperity is all around us, is surrounding us in the ethers. And the way we pull that the prosperity from the storehouse, or how do we manifest it on the physical realm, is through ideas. Ideas are the mechanism that allow us to transform it from the ethers into the physical realm. Remember now, our thought as an instrument for prosperity. Ideas. You don't have a health shortage, you have an idea shortage. You don't have a money shortage, you have an idea shortage. Because the fact is, there are billions and billions and billions and billions of dollars and tolars and pesos and francs and any kind of currency you want all over the world. There is plenty enough money for everybody to live prosperous. Yet most people don't, because they think in lack. They think in less zeros than I do, perhaps. They think about lack instead of thinking about prosperity. And they don't exercise ideas. They don't exercise ideas. The example, I've used this before in my seminars, is a gentleman I had in one of my prosperity discussion groups one night at church. And he said, but you don't understand. It's different for me. I'm a nurse. I work for the government at such and such hospital, and I'm at the top of the pay scale. We've got everything, all the, there's like different levels, and I'm at the top level, and I can't even get a raise. There's no such thing as a raise for me. I have to wait until next year. They're going to do a review, and I get like a cost of living increase. It'll be 4% or 2% or whatever it is, and I don't have a choice. There is nowhere else I can go. So you see, that idea thing, it really doesn't apply to me. I'm special. I'm sure you never thought this. He thought, I'm special. This doesn't really apply to me. And I said, well, that's fascinating. That's a fascinating belief. But, of course, was that belief really serving him? Now, he gave me that example, and I said, well, now what is to prevent you from creating a home health care service? For somebody who's looking for home nursing care, and they want absolutely the best nursing care in the world, and they want someone who's going to come to their house, knows what they're doing, going to stay with them, and not that impersonal nature that sometimes happens in some of the poor hospitals. They want someone who's there, just taking care of them, the finest home nursing care in the world. What's to prevent you from doing that business? And charging $1,000 a day for that service, or $2,000 a day. Or whatever it is. Do you believe there's not someone out there with lots and lots and lots and lots of money who would joyfully, gratefully, lovingly trade it, or some of it, for someone who would provide them with extraordinary, exceptional, customer service-driven home nursing care? And he thought about, well, yeah, okay, that's a possibility. I didn't think of that. Yes, you didn't think of that. But that's an idea. Now, that was the difference of how I approached the situation and how he approached the situation. He saw the situation in lack. which is, hey, I'm working at the hospital. Here's the thing. It's a pay scale. I can't go higher than that. I approach the situation from prosperity. I said, well, why would you have to work at... Who said you have to stay working at the hospital? Or who said you couldn't stay working at the hospital and do a home business on the side? Or open up any other one kind of home-based business? Or any other possible thing you could do? Ideas, my friend. Ideas are how you manifest prosperity on the physical realm. If you have a concept of something, if you can conceive it in your mind, your Creator gave you the ability to manifest it on the physical realm. Now, I got to tell you, I got a lot of grief on this when I brought that up in my prosperity group as well. Had a guy there said, wait a minute. That cannot be true. He said, because I have an idea. I'd like to have $1 million. I want a brand new Mercedes, and I want to be healthy again. Now, I can think about it, but I can't manifest it, so that doesn't work. There's no idea that's going to make that work for me. And you know what? When he first said that, I got to admit, I was very scared. I was scared that he was right and that this wasn't true, what I had just stated. Because I had to tell you, I couldn't conceive of this gentleman having $1 million, driving a new Mercedes, or being healthy. Because this was a gentleman in the absolute throes of lack and limitation. He was dying of AIDS. His car was in worse shape than he was. And he didn't have a penny to his name. As a matter of fact, he was on public assistance. And the thought of him, you know, having $1 million and driving a new car and being healthy and happy, I couldn't even imagine that. So when he said he could think of that, why couldn't he manifest it? I got really scared. But I have to tell you, when I thought about it, I realized that he was the perfect example of how true it was. Because this was not a person who celebrated prosperity. This was a person who reveled in lack. And it was one of the people, you asked him how he was doing, and he always told you, and it was never good. And he always saw the trials and the tribulations and the challenges and everything. And my experience of him, we had a mastermind group, and we'd break into different groups, and people would affirm the things they'd want to do. One of the things he would affirm every week that he was going to win the lotto. And so finally, after 7-8 weeks, he got a very insistent in his group. He said, you know, this stuff doesn't work. I haven't won the lotto yet. And so I believe it was Jill said, how many did you buy a ticket? How many tickets are you buying? And he said, I didn't buy any tickets. I don't want to have to buy the ticket myself. That's not, you know, prosperity. I want someone to buy the ticket and give it to me. So here's a guy, you know, affirming what he believes is prosperity, affirming he's going to win the lotto, yet he has never bought a ticket. Now, I believe it's the Quakers have a saying, as you pray, move your feet. And in unity with the Fillmore's faith, they teach that God can give you the light, but you still have to turn on the light switch. So it's great to have ideas, but then you got to take the ideas and you have to go out and act on them. And that's where a lot of people fall down. Just as many probably don't have the ideas, and then a lot of the people who have the ideas, they don't act upon those ideas. You have to do that. So as I thought about this gentleman in my class, I thought about his lack and his limitation, and he had created a mentality where he just wanted things to be given to him. He didn't want to be proactive about it. He didn't want to take control of his own destiny. And as we get into some of the laws of prosperity, like the forgiveness law, you're going to learn more about this. But again, as we talked about the forgiveness law, he'd say, no, there's some people I can never forgive. I can never forgive this. I can never. And see, you can't experience prosperity if you don't live by the laws of prosperity. And this was someone who refused to live by the laws of prosperity. And then I understood that it really was true, because every one of us have the ability to manifest good things, but we also have the ability to manifest bad things. And he was a person who was trapped in victimhood who kept manifesting bad things. So understand, if this idea was not true, the universe would be weak at its most vital point. Please, be open to receive prosperity. Prosperity is simply divine love in action. Remember, substance or prosperity, it doesn't come from up there or down here. Your Creator is present everywhere. There's no spot on earth that God is not. And therefore, there is abundance in every spot on earth. For you to go around saying, well, I'm looking for prosperity. I'm trying to find abundance. I'm trying to find out how to become wealthy would be the equivalent of a fish swimming around all through the Atlantic, the Pacific, and all of the different oceans trying to find water. You're surrounded by prosperity. It is all around you. All you must do is take it. Be open to receiving it. Emerson taught that the free flow of substance is the continuation of the divine effort that made you. Let's look at that again. The free flow of substance is the continuation of the divine effort that made you. But just remember now, God can only do for you what He can do through you. All of God's help, or all of the universe's help, or all your Creator's help, must flow through your consciousness before it can manifest in you. If you have a financial challenge, what you really have is a need for an increased consciousness. You don't have to get more substance. It's all right here. So if you have a goal, you need a new car, you think you need a new home, you think you need more money, that's not what you need right now. What you need is to achieve the consciousness where substance will flow as needed. The only way, the true way to achieve prosperity is to take charge of your mind. The supply, and Emily Cady taught this, that the supply of every good awaits the demand. The demand must be made before the supply can come forth to fill it. In other words, you have to look for this prosperity. You have to expect this prosperity. You have to desire it in your life, and you will attract it. It's the fundamental principle of attraction. You get what you expect, and you will accept. So stop thinking in lack terms. Stop thinking about the bills that you have to pay. Think about, celebrate the blessings that came from those bills. Because that's what those invoices are. They're just, those bills are invoices for blessings that you receive. Celebrate that. Celebrate all the many more blessings you're going to get. Expect abundance. Stop allowing thoughts of lack to enter your mind. See, let me go back to my story. Here I was, had that goal to be a millionaire by the time I was 35. There I'm taking steps. All of a sudden, I've got my restaurant seat. I got no money, no car, no house, nothing. And I'm like 30 years old. What happened is the rubber band snapped. And I say that, I used the example. Somebody gave me an example once that you hold up your two thumbs and you put a rubber band around them. And you stretch it out and say that your right thumb is your goal or your vision or your dream or what you want to accomplish. And then your left thumb is your reality, where you are. Well, the bigger distance between those two, the more you pull them apart, the more tension there is on that rubber band. And of course, tension, by its nature, is going to want to contract. So that's what happens for most people. You've got the reality of where you are right now, and you have the reality of where you want to be. Now, the bigger the gulf between those two, the more tension there is on the rubber band. Now, one of two things happens. One is the tension is so great that it pulls you toward your vision or your goal. You have such a strong vision or picture in your mind or association of what you want to become, what you want to have, what you want to do, that you start taking actions on a daily basis that bring you closer to that reality. Now, what happens, unfortunately, for a lot of people, is the tension works the other way. The tension pulls your vision back to your current reality. And that's when you say, well, be realistic. I've never been to college. How could I be a millionaire if I've never been to college? Or how could I be a billionaire? There's only a couple billionaires I've ever heard of. Most, I mean, it's too hard. You got to have money to make money. You got to know someone. You have to get in at the top. You would justify all of the reasons why you cannot be a billionaire, why you cannot be healthy, why you don't deserve a good relationship, why you shouldn't have a nice car. Those things are all lack consciousness. Well, in my case, here's the rubber band way out here. I want to be a millionaire by the time I'm 35. Here's the other thumb over here pulling the rubber band. I'm sleeping on the floor, sold all my furniture, and I'm eating macaroni and cheese three times a day. The gulf between those two points, the distance between my reality of where I was and my reality of where I wanted to go, was so great that neither of the two first examples we talked about happened. A third example happened, which was the rubber band snapped. And there I was, you know, business seized, nowhere to go, no money, nothing. And that was one of the greatest things that ever happened to me. Because when that rubber band snapped, it allowed me to understand that I had lacked programming, that I had lacked consciousness, that I had manifested that reality. Because, of course, now I had been sick for a number of years, and I said that wasn't my fault. That was just the situation because of what I ate as I grew up and the diet I had, and, you know, it caused this condition, and I really didn't, you know, have any control over that. And I was in a negative relationship, like the last 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 or 10 or 12 negative relationships I was in. But that's because I just kept meeting stupid, ignorant people who, you know, didn't appreciate the high consciousness that I had. And I didn't have any money, but that's because of the evil, mean, nasty IRS. And the time before that, it was because of the economy. And the time before that, it was because of the crooked partner. And the time before that, it was because of the bad location. And the time before that, it was because I was born poor and I didn't have money to make money. And the time before that, it's because I didn't know anybody, you know, to got to know someone to get somewhere. And I didn't have the education. And time after time after time after time. And with all of that breakdown happening, when the rubber band snapped, all of a sudden I had to say, well, is there one person who was always at the scene of the crime in every one of these negative dysfunctional relationships, in every one of these failed businesses, in every one of these illnesses, in every one of these lack circumstances? There was one person there, and that person was me. And I had to come to grips with the reality that I was manifesting these things in my life. Now, I got to tell you, if you're manifesting a lot of lack in your life right now, you're probably really upset listening to this. And you're probably thinking, I'm very unsympathetic and ununderstanding, and just don't I realize that it's different for you, that you're special, and that it's not your fault. And I'm here to tell you, I'm not about to place fault. I'm not going to tell you it's your fault, it's my fault, it's anyone's fault. But I will tell you this. You are manifesting the results in your life, whether they be great, whether they be mediocre, or whether they be downright horrible. I've got a friend, and I'd like good things for this friend. But this friend, he's at about 30 years old, he's about where I was at 30 years old, broke. Every time I hire him to do some work, and every time I do, I gotta, you know, I write the check. I have to give him $25 of it cash because he needs to get lunch or he needs to get dinner, and he doesn't have any cash, and he's got to wait till the next morning and go to the bank and cash the check there because he doesn't have a checking account, and he doesn't have credit cards because he had a girlfriend who ruined his credit, and he had this situation where that happened, and he lost this job, and of course none of this is his fault. He's just an innocent victim. And every time I see him, there's another tragedy, another circumstance in his life why he couldn't. And he was saving up, and he was going to buy a new van. Not a new one. I mean, a used one for like $1,500. And then this happened, and he had to pay that for something he did. And then he lost the van that somebody had been saving. They agreed to sell him. And what could he do? It wasn't his fault. And it's always, it wasn't his fault. Or he'll promise to meet me, and 10 o'clock, I'll say, no, you got to get up at 9 o'clock. You got to be here by 10 because I have to leave. And, of course, 10 o'clock, he won't be there. And I'll call, and there's no answer, and no answer. And then he'll call me at 2 in the afternoon, say, it wasn't my fault. Yell at my girlfriend. She's the one who turned off the alarm. And, of course, I say, I'm not going to yell at your girlfriend. I'm not going to yell at you. But you manifested that. It's not your girlfriend's responsibility for you to get up. If you want to do business and make money, you have to take charge of your life. Now, he doesn't see it that way. He sees it as it's not his fault. The girlfriend turned off the alarm. How could he help that? And it's not his fault this happened so he didn't have the money to buy the van. And it's not his fault he met a girl and she's the one who ruined his credit. And it's not his fault because he did this and that happened. Next time I saw him, he didn't show up because he'd been in the hospital because he was at a disco the night before and some guy knocked him out. And, of course, how could he? It wasn't his fault. He was just dancing. The guy stepped on his foot. He said, hey, it's okay, buddy. And the guy turned around and clocked him and knocked him out cold. Now, he says, that's not my fault. I had nothing to do with that. And, of course, I look at that and I say, well, let's take this back to a couple of levels. Let's look at this deeper, a little bit deeper. Why do people drink? There's really only one reason people drink. To get stupid. I mean, think about it. There really is no other reason. If you think of the first time you drank a whiskey or beer or wine, you hated it because it's horrible. I mean, let's face it. Beer is rancid, fermented hops. Wine is rancid, fermented grapes. You know, alcohol is, forget about it. I mean, stuff will kill you. So it's like drinking battery acid. Why would anyone drink it? Nobody liked the taste of it. We drink it because we saw TV commercials or we saw movies where the cool people drank liquor or alcohol, so we wanted to be cool, so we wanted to drink beer or wine, and we watched these silly commercials with all the gorgeous guys with washboard abs and beautiful babes in bikinis, and they're all drinking Coors beer and celebrating their skiing and sledding and playing volleyball and all of that stuff. And, of course, you know, you never see the beer bellies in the beer commercials. It's always the guys with the washboard abs. Now, we want to be like those people, so we're young, we're impressionable, we get molded by this advertising, so we think we want to drink beer. We think, but, of course, our body naturally tells us, this is horrible, this is bad stuff, this will kill you. But why do we do it? We drink because we want to get stupid. We want to forget about reality, or we're not happy enough with our life, so we think we'll impair our judgment, so we get silly and giggly and happy. We get stupid. So, if why do we drink? We drink to get stupid. Now, why do people go to nightclubs? Well, most people go to nightclubs to drink. Or maybe they go to meet someone, or maybe they go to dance, but if that was the case, they'd just go and meet someone, or they'd just go there to dance. But they don't just go there to dance, they go there to drink. So my friend, here he is in this nightclub with 2,000 people who have gone to do one thing, to get stupid. Now, it just kind of stands to reason if you put yourself in an environment with 2,000 people who are there to get stupid, stupid things are going to happen. Just like I had surrounded myself with victims when I was 30 years old. And all of my friends were like me. They were waiting till the last day to pay the light bill or the phone bill. And then we called up the utility and got a 10-day extension. And then on the 10th day, we went to the payment place because we had till then to borrow the money. And we went there at 10 minutes to 5 o'clock. And we'd wait in line for an hour and a half to get to the front of the line. And then we'd have to call and say, please don't shut off the lights. I left the payment here. Here's the code number. And I did that month after month after month after month, year after year. And all my friends did the same thing. So when I got the Ponder book and I changed my beliefs that I had a creator who wanted me to be wealthy and that my thoughts could be an instrument for prosperity, that changed my life. I adopted those beliefs and you know what? They have served me very well. And they will serve you very well as well if you will adopt them too. Because when you adopt beliefs like that, you stop putting things into your body that make you sick. You stop taking actions that make you sick. You stop, the attraction of dysfunctional people loses its appeal to you. The attraction of drugs and alcohol and things like that, they lose their appeal to you. You start to celebrate life. You start to celebrate spirituality. You start to celebrate beauty. And you know what? You attract other people into your life who appreciate and celebrate the same things. Think of those beliefs. You're meant to be wealthy, healthy, happy, prosperous, abundant in all areas of your life, and that you can create that by your thoughts. Because everything else we're going to talk about will come back to those fundamental beliefs. Coming up next, we're going to look at how to practice that in your life in a practical application as we look at the imaging law of prosperity.